whooping cough. While it's, in some cases it can be relatively mild, in others it is certainly very deadly. University of Michigan researchers are now getting a federal grant to find out why this thing is back. Pejman Rohani is a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology in the U of M College of LS&A and also a professor of epidemiology at the School of Public Health. He joins us now. Pejman, thanks for joining us on WILS.
My pleasure.
Now, the history apparently is in 1934, we had about 265,000 cases of whooping cough in the U.S., killed almost 8,000 people. Then a vaccine was discovered. So when did we start seeing these cases starting to reemerge?
Well, that depends on which state you're thinking about. The cases went down nationally throughout the 50s and 60s. And in fact, the lowest number of cases on record is 1976, when there was only 1,000 cases. Since then, systematically in a number of states, there's been a resurgence. In some places, it took until the early 1980s for it to just start turning over and for the incidence to increase.
Now, you're being tasked, if I understand correctly, to try to understand why these cases are starting to pick up?
That's part of the grant proposal that we got funded, yes.
Do you have any kind of initial theories? Some of these vaccinations and parents choosing not to vaccinate their kids seem to be at the forefront of some theories as to why. Do you think that it might be the primary reason?
So I think it's too soon to say definitively what's going on. So there are a number of possibilities. One of them is that isn't indeed the vaccine hesitant movement and the reluctance of some parents to immunize their children is contributing to the circulation of the bacterium, and that's why we're seeing more incidence of it. Another possibility is that it's been about 20 years since we switched from an old vaccine that works quite well to a newer generation of vaccines, and maybe these vaccines just don't provide as long a protective effect as the old ones.
I mean, is it clear that if you've been vaccinated that you're protected from whooping cough or not necessarily so?
Again, it depends. So I don't want to be coy about any of this, but it's worth pointing out that there are three or four different vaccines available. How many doses of a vaccine you get and which vaccine you get seems to affect how much protection you have and for how long. Now, I should also add that to the list of reasons why pertussis might be coming back, we need to add the possibility that we're just better at finding it. So our methods are better at detecting it. It may not be coming back as such, but it's just that we're increasingly better at detecting it. And another possibility is that there are some evolutionary changes going on in the bacterium so that whatever immunity vaccines elicit are being circumvented by the process of genetic changes and evolution in the bacteria.
I see. Now
but those are all possibilities that we need to systematically study and get to the bottom of this issue.
It's also known as pertussis, as you're saying. Now, from what we know, how contagious is it right now? When someone gets it, how likely is it to spread to those around them?
Pertussis is a very infectious pathogen. So I'm not going to quantify how likely it is that someone will get it, but it's very, very infectious. And it can be very severe. The outcome of the infection can be very severe, depending on the age of the individual who gets it. In infants in particular, younger than 6 months, it can be a deadly infection.
Do we know approximately how many cases there are in Michigan in a typical year now?
I haven't seen the most recent figures, but it would be in the thousands.
Now, to get this bacteria in your system, you simply have to be around somebody that has whooping cough, and they simply cough, and you inhale this bacteria?
That's right. It's transmitted via aerosol, so it's a little droplet in coughing and sneezing that are then picked up by other people.
I mean, it's a very complex problem. You're saying it could be an issue of a lack of vaccination, could be an issue of the types of vaccines we're now using. How are you going to go about studying and trying to understand what's causing the increase in cases?
So we have, over the past few years, gathered as much data as possible from a number of different places. And in periods of time where there was no vaccination, so that we can understand, for example, how does natural immunity to the infection, how long does it last and how strong is it, so that we understand the patterns of transmission as a function of age. So do old people transmit it less well than children and so on? Mm-hmm. And then we've got data from countries for periods of time where they were using the older vaccine, the so-called whole cell vaccine. And then we have data for countries where they're using the new generation of vaccines, a cellular vaccine.
I see. So you can compare the rates of infection based on the vaccine. So in 1934, 8,000 deaths in the U.S. At this point, is this bacteria, pertussis, is it deadly?
It most certainly is deadly. In the 2010 California outbreak, there were 10 infant deaths as a result of the bacterium. And in many parts of the world, all told, pertussis accounts for somewhere between 100,000 and 200,000 infant deaths every year.
Now, what is it that, obviously, well, you have a cough that is very persistent, doesn't stop. What is it that ultimately can kill a person?
Well, one of the most senior outcomes or serious outcomes of a pertussis infection is obviously lack of oxygen to the brain. And when the infection becomes very long-lasting, it can compromise the immune system, so you can get secondary bacterial infections that that will eventually cause death.
A lack of oxygen to the brain. You're saying you're coughing so much that you're actually not able to breathe, and that's what can kill you?
Well, that's actually where the name whooping cough comes from. It's because very quickly, shortly after infection, the bacterium disables cause ciliary movement in your lungs that clears mucus from your airways. And so the mucus gets built up and you cough so that you can expunge that stuff from your throat.
Mm-hmm.
And you cough and cough and cough and cough and cough, but then you haven't inhaled for a long time. So then you have to have a really rapid uptake of oxygen. So that's where the hoop sound comes in, and then you keep coughing. It can be very, very serious.
That sounds frightening, but hopefully we will get some better understandings. Pejman Rohani will be investigating it's the reason for these increasing cases of whooping cough. Under a federal grant. He's a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the U of M College of LSNA, also a professor of epidemiology at the School of Public Health at U of M. Pejman, thanks for joining us on WILS.
It's been my pleasure.